1 John 4:1-3 says this: Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is even now is already in the world. And so we have truth and we have lies. Now, I wish Christians were better about testing spirits. And in other words, I wish Christians were better at recognizing lies when they hear them. So much of what we hear comes from someone's troubled past, or it comes out of offense, or self-centeredness, or just outright rebellion. You know, if you make a mistake while I'm offended at you, and I am seething, I am really upset with you, and then you make a mistake and I decide to say something to you about it, you're going to hear words from a different slant. There's going to be a different tone. I might be trying to sound like I'm trying to help you, but there's going to be something there that's going to come through. And sometimes we have that problem in our conversations with people, or you know, our coworkers, or our bosses, or our mates, especially. And we're dealing out of things from this kind of like this bad spot. And how many of you know that doesn't always work so well? And, you're like, there's no excuse for that. I don't want to hear that stuff, you know? And, you know, you get this little thing, and of course, we all love to encounter that attitude, right? We always love people that want to help us with such affection. And, if I'm super pleased with you, on the other hand, and you make this mistake, that will be reflected. Well, now don't worry about that. Everybody makes mistakes every once in a while. That's how we grow and learn and all of those things. And so you're going to hear a different kind of response. And so knowing the truth isn't really hard. It's God makes it pretty plain, but there are a lot of motives behind the lies that we hear. And the reason that we believe lies is because we just have grown up listening to them, and we've heard them so much, but not only do we want to believe them, but we believe them because they're convenient to us. Sometimes they're the things that we want to hear. And, you don't want to chase after teaching simply because they're appealing. In other words, what I'm saying is, sometimes lies are appealing to our flesh, and truth isn't always appealing to our flesh. And so sometimes we love to hear a lie. And, we court lies. And if someone's the people who are telling us the lie, sometimes they're our friends. And then sometimes the people who are speaking the truth to us, not so much. You know, there was a time in my life where the most exciting teachings that I heard, in other words, when somebody teaches something, I get really excited about it. You know, I go, oh man, this is good stuff. Why wasn't I taught this before? And used to be those things, I thought those were the most spiritual things. In other words, if it got me really excited, I thought that was like, whoo, that's way up here, you know. That's the spiritual stuff. And if I didn't particularly like it, well, then that was not so much so. Well, the thing about that is, that's not true. You don't want to follow slick if all it is slick. I mean, that's like the classic picture of a girl getting in a car with a guy simply because his car is cool. You know, you don't want to be that person. You don't want to be that girl. You want to have more going on than that. And as Christians, you know, we shouldn't just be wanting to find whatever is slick. You know, regardless of whether it has a good foundation or true, those kinds of things. Most of the time when the devil shows up, you know, he does not show up ugly, by the way. Most of the time. Most people just don't recognize him until it's ugly. But, he doesn't show up as a flat tire. He shows up as a new tire. And then later he slaps you with a flat tire. And so the truth and the flesh, they just don't really go together. The truth doesn't look like dessert to the flesh. They don't get along well. The flesh isn't really seeking out truth. The way your flesh feels about a particular message is not a good indicator of truth. If you really like it and all those kinds of things, that if your flesh is all excited, that might be actually a reason to pause and to test what you're hearing. I'm not saying you have to reject it, but you certainly need to test it. And just because you're not liking it doesn't mean that you shouldn't test it either. Because it might be the thing you need. I mean, the thing about it is you have to understand your flesh is baited by lies. In other words, if I want to appeal to your flesh, I'm going to do so through a lie. And you talk about any young guy who's trying to get together with a girl, or a girl that's trying to get together with a guy. You don't tell the truth. You tell them whatever you think will work. Even when you get older and get married, you try to figure out what will work. Some of us are pretty slow. But if your flesh is getting excited, there could very well be a lie present. Truth doesn't look appealing to the flesh. Truth is like getting your hand slapped much of the time. Remember when you was a little kid and you'd reach out or you'd do something, get your hand slapped? How many of you ever raised a kid that just loved to get their hand slapped? At the same time, there's the other side of that is slapping people's hands all the time doesn't make you spiritual. People are violent. And they're violent long before they get hold of any truth. And so you put a Bible in a violent person's hands, and they can be more violent than ever. Only now they can wrap it in God. The kind of violence that we want to exercise as Christians is the violence of love. I don't know if you realize that love is violence. I mean, true love, it just wrecks things. Sometimes people have the best laid plans, and then someone comes along and starts loving on them and ruins the whole thing. Love is violence against the devil and his kingdom. And, love shreds lies. And, some of you are here today because of the violence of love. It visited you. You had your plans. You were going someplace else. You were going to do something else with your life. And you were doing your own thing, and then Jesus showed up. And you couldn't resist his love, and here you are now sitting in church on Sunday morning. Whatever plan you had before, love worked violence against that plan. And we're supposed to speak the truth in love. And you can speak the truth out of offense, but it's no longer the truth when you do that. Go with me to Ephesians 4:15. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, you can't speak the truth in hate and then say, well, I'm just trying to speak to you in love. Either it's love or it isn't love. But instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And so the way that we grow and the way that we get to where Jesus wants us to go, the way we get to the place that's most beneficial to us, is to have the truth spoken to us in love. And because it works violence against everything that the devil wants to accomplish. The devil wants to defeat you. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. His plan is to get you sidetracked, paint any kind of picture he can, tell you any kind of lie you want to hear, and drag you someplace and give you a flat tire. That's what he wants to do. And God's plan is different than that. He wants to speak the truth to take you to a place of security, a place of blessing and peace and those kinds of things. But our flesh doesn't always want to do the most beneficial thing. And these are not deep secrets. All you got to do is look at a kid and try to explain to them what the wise choice is. And they don't always want to make the wise choice, do they? Sometimes they just want to make the dumb choice. And they're pretty sure that's the smartest thing to do. And, you can't convince them otherwise. You know, I try to speak out of love, but sometimes I fail. And I'm not going to say how much, but I'm pretty sure it's very little. And, if I have ever slapped your hand out of offense instead of love, I apologize. I do. I really do. That's my baggage, okay? That's my deal. That has to be worked on. That's not your problem. And I hope that you'll give me another chance, because God gives me another chance every day. And, we're trying to master this thing called love. Do you remember the prodigal son, the story of him? He didn't want to listen to his father. He didn't want to be there in that place. He kind of had his own plans. You know, the world was calling him. The city, the bright lights, you know, whatever it was, the gaming machines, he just women, whatever he had his own ideas, and he thought he was in a pretty boring place, and called home. And so he took his share of his inheritance from his father, and he struck out on his own. And he chased his desires. And his dreams and all of those kinds of things. He followed another voice. And everything went bad. And didn't work out the way that he thought it was going to work out. I mean, he did have some fun for some while. I mean, he had some wild stories. And after he understood, though, his mistake, he went back home. And his father celebrated his return. And Jesus always celebrates our return, praise the Lord. But sometimes the world calls us. Sometimes a lie calls us. Sometimes we get sidetracked a little bit and we start chasing after something that we really shouldn't be chasing after. But, we want it so bad. When you go off to follow a lie, you see, you become that prodigal child. And it's not going to work out. If it's not the truth, if you're following a lie, it's not going to work out. And you don't have to be mad at me for saying that. That's just the truth. That's how it works. As soon as it's apparent to you that you've made a mistake, when you're ready to listen to the truth and turn around and go home, don't dive or double down on your pride or embarrassment. Don't just keep going the way you're going. Some people get stubborn out there. And stuff like, I made my bed, I'm just going to stay here. The last thing I'm going to do is go home and let Dad gloat over me. If I go home, he's going to say, I told you so. I'm going to get that lecture. No, that's the truth. See, when the truth is spoken in love, it's not going to hurt. He's going to speak good things to you. He's going to have a party for you when you go home. Test the spirits. And, I can't be with you all the time to test the spirit with something that's true or not, and you wouldn't want me to be. If I was there all the time, tell you every little thing, you'd be so offended and mad and angry. You don't even like the person next to you telling you what to do. You definitely wouldn't like me there doing that. And so do it for yourself. Test the spirits. In other words, you just think about it. I'm betting you could probably get squared away. Now, whether you want to listen to it or not, that's a different story. But, test the spirits. Jesus doesn't want you living on the streets as a runaway. I don't know if anybody, you don't need to raise your hands, but have any of you done something this week that you knew you should not do? That you just decide you're going to do it anyway? Some maybe not, praise the Lord. We won't go back any further than a week. You know, Jesus doesn't want you to living on the street as a runaway. Don't harden off towards the truth. I mean, when it becomes clear, you know, just turn around and run towards it. And the sooner the better. And don't be easily deceived. You know, I used to talk about these stories about all the time how I just high to low. I mean, when I took a dive, man, I went down to the gutter. I mean, if I wasn't like at least a few feet under the mud, I wouldn't come back up. But after you got down there a while and I couldn't breathe anymore, I would eventually come up. And then I'd go to this high, whoo, man, living for Jesus. You know, and then it was way back down. And I finally in my life, man, I got tired of that stuff. I said, you know, you don't, what you do is when you start heading down, you just turn back up faster. You know, you don't have to keep going. You don't have to keep going down that really dark spot, you know, and that's, you get a little wisdom when you start turning around sooner. The other day I've been doing these stretches on the exercise. I'm going to get myself in trouble. Joan here? Nope. Okay, I can tell this. I do these stretches, you know, because of that back thing I had going on. I've been doing these stretches. It's been helping anyway. I've been doing these stretches and stuff. And I have this watch I wear, and it has a timer on it. And I want to do this stretch for 30 seconds. And so I've been using my little stopwatch, but I left it over here to church. I didn't have it. So in the living room, our clock doesn't have a second hand on it. But back over in the dining room, there's a clock back in there, and it has a second hand on it, and I can see it if the light's turned on. And so I wanted to turn the light on, you know, while I was doing my exercise, so I could see that clock, and my wife didn't want me to have the light on. With nobody in that room, that was like this waste. And I started, you know, I started in, you know, and I just stopped myself, you know. I said, okay, don't worry about it, I can do this. You know, and, you know, I didn't even have to go to that bad place. I didn't have to raise a fit until she gave me my way. I didn't have to do none of that stuff. I just, you know what? I think I can handle this without a 30-second time clock. I will survive this. God has got me through much greater things than that. Okay? This is not a big issue. Now, there would have been a day maybe that would have been, but praise God. You know, so I learned, don't go down there. Don't do that. You'd be a lot happier. I said, oh, well, you know what? Just don't worry about it. And she just looked at me, and she went over, and she turned on the light. Oh, man, we can be crazy, can't we? Of course, I do realize that I'm telling these stories that your situation is much, much, much more serious. In some cases, it is. You know, the spirit of the Antichrist is in the world, and he will appeal to everything that is wrong. So any little weakness in you, everything that there is, that's what he appeals to. The spirit of lies is in the world, but you don't need to be the victim of lies. You can practice not going that direction. It's possible. You don't need to be, Jesus is Lord, and don't ever stray from that truth. And, you know, some, is there something trying to pull you away from that? Just trust me, don't even bother. 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You are an overcomer. You do not have to be a victim of liars and lies. You've overcome them. Who is them? It's the liars and what they peddle. Don't be envious of what liars have. Don't wish you could be like them. Don't let them lure you into their life. What they have is a lie. If you have Jesus in your heart as your Savior, you have managed to overcome the liars. Good job. Thank Jesus for it, though. Don't start giving in to them again. Don't go back to that. That was the problem you had before Jesus. Don't start giving in to the lies. Don't be a Christian who doesn't want to be a Christian. Don't be a Christian, you know, longing to have what liars have. The idea that they have good stuff and you don't, that's a lie. If it were not for lies, If it wasn't that because of lies and the fact that they love lies, they would envy you. Because you're the only ones that have anything that's good. You're the only ones that have anything that's hope. Why wouldn't they envy the people that have the truth as opposed to the people who have lies? Count your good fortune. Thank God that you were able to come to your senses. Be happy about that. Don't be looking at the lives that liars have and feeling like somehow you're disadvantaged, you're missing out on something. 1 John 4:5. They are from the world, and therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. You know, being able to know the truth is your advantage. Well, you might think that you just take that for granted. That's an advantage to be able to know the truth. Most people think lies are true. And if you have the ability to actually to know the truth, I'm telling you what, you've got a leg up. People are always looking for a leg up, but a lot of times they don't recognize when they have it. And I'm just telling you, you have a leg up. You're the advantage one. You know, you've overcome the world. You have the ability to pass by all of those lies and come into the truth and walk in the light, you know, and, you know, to set your course, you know, in the right direction. So to set your ship towards victory instead of failure. We get in these ships, we go on these long cruises, we get them going the wrong direction, and we're on them for months or years or decades, only to get to a place where we say, oh, well, I guess I went the wrong direction. And that doesn't need to be our life experience. Praise God, we can always turn the rudder and head back towards the truth. But you know what? You don't have to make all of those errors. You don't have to listen to that guy that's telling you there's a gold on some island west. Or whatever it is, you can know the truth and just go the right direction. How many of you have heard of people who have been scammed out of their money or different things and tricked and stuff like that? Was it because someone was telling them they weren't going to get very much, or did they tell them there was a pot of gold? Sometimes, you know, we don't have a taste for the truth. Naturally speaking, we've been eating lies for so long that they just taste like ice cream to us. Somebody tells us where we can score some drugs, and whoo, my lucky day. Someone tells us about a party that's taking place, some farmer's field or whatever. Whoa. Part of the in crowd. You get to know where all that stuff happens. I don't ever know any of that kind of stuff. I'm left out. No, I know. It's just so sad. They never tell me where all that rivalry is going on. And I used to be the guy who organized it. It's a lot easier to get people to come to that stuff than it is to get them to come to the truth. Come to the church and those things. Let me just tell you that. And it's because we're used to eating lies, and they taste like ice cream. You offer people ice cream, they all show up. Before truth came to us, you know, we had developed a taste for roadkill. You know, we were like cannibals who eat human flesh. We didn't realize what we liked. You know, we like stuff that killed you, that had death in it. We like stuff that caused us to hurt everybody that was around us, to lie to everybody we know, to get where we don't even know when we speak, we don't even know if we're lying ourselves. That's the kind of stuff we liked to eat. We ate it for so long and so much that we became immune to the fact that it was killing us and everyone else. I was eating ice cream. It was poison. We had to redevelop our taste. We need to eat food that angels eat. It's God's manna that we should desire. His word, truth, should be the thing that we covet, long for, and chase after. Truth is an acquired taste. When we start out, truth is our enemy. But eventually it becomes our best friend. You know, when you're spared from a lie, the price of a lie, have you ever watched a friend chase a lie? You know, I used to talk about running around doing all that revelry and all that crazy stuff and things like that. Praise God. You know, I had, by the grace of Jesus Christ, I had a come to Jesus moment when I was in my early 20s. You know, and I turned it around. I met a wonderful woman, and so I had this different life. And yet many of my buddies, you know, are in their 50s, and so they're still caught in the same stinking kind of life that they had back when I used to run around with them. And it's sorry. They don't look so slick anymore. They don't look like they're having such a good time like they used to. I don't understand that. But I know that to be given the opportunity to know the truth and follow the truth is a blessing. And every one of us should covet that in our lives, not following after lies. And if you have that ability to know, don't be living in yesterday's mistakes and regrets and all that. Just thank God you got the truth today. Liars are motivated by lies. They speak lies. They like lies. They partner with other liars. They think that the liars own the world. They're under the spirit of lies, the spirit of falsehood. There's a spirit of falsehood and there's a spirit of truth. And people who are under the spirit of lies, they just think they're it. They're the end people. They're the ones who got it on. They run things. The world was made for them. And the people who know the truth, well, they're just the geeks and the whatever. They got it backwards. Romans 1:28. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what they ought not to be done. Liars start out poo-pawing the truth. Is that a word? And so God lets them, he just lets them go their way. And, you know, if you've crashed and burned, let me tell you, God wasn't punishing you. He wasn't even mad at you. You know, if you want to follow a lie, though, God will not stop you. He will let you go whichever direction you want to go. That's what you want to do, just like the father of that prodigal son. You know, if you want your inheritance and you want to go, you can do it. I'm not going to stop you. All I can try to do is to encourage you to go the right way. You know, it's like stopping a car and telling them that the bridge is out down the road, but the only problem is there's a party on the other side of the bridge that they want to get to. So instead of turning around, they just mock you. What do you know about bridges? Down the road to destruction they go. So you don't need to punish them. Simply step aside and let them go. Did you ever, raising a kid, you ever let a kid, sometimes you slap their hand, sometimes you tried, you ever just let them do what they want to do? And that's what God does for liars. He just lets them go. Liars and those who feed off lies don't need to punish. Just let them go. And where they go is punishment enough. But God never turns his back on us. That's the good news. He never turns his back on you. When you insist on following a lie, he goes with you. He'll go down the road with the bridge out. And he'll stay with you the whole time, whether you recognize him being with you or not. He's there. You can go to the party. You can go to the den of iniquity. You can go to any place you want. And Jesus goes there with you. He goes right into that place, and he's there to save you at any moment that you want saved, to help you come out from there anytime that you want it. He's ready to help you any moment that you're ready. You know, I had a dream last night, and I was standing on this wall that ran down the middle of a turbulent stream. And it was kind of like a rapids, and there were these pools churning and different stuff. And this little boy was swimming in it. And he's going from one pool to the next, and he jumped up on the wall, and he jumped right in this pool beside me that was just churning. And I thought, man, I remember thinking that, man, this is too wild for a kid to be swimming in. And I watched, and he didn't come up. And I wasn't going to jump in. I wouldn't be able to save him. I wouldn't be able to save myself. But I knew I had to do something. And so I just jumped in, and I held onto the side of the wall, and just jumped in and put my feet way down in there, hoping that maybe he'd bump into him and he'd grab my legs or something. I didn't have much hope in that, but I had to do something. And as I was holding on the wall, I looked across, and on the other side of the wall, here this hand comes up through the water. It's just a hand sticking up out of the water. And I was so happy, and I grabbed his arm, and I pulled him up out of the water, and I woke up. You know, when you follow lies, it's like swimming in turbulent streams. You may come to a point where you feel like you're drowning. But if you stick your hand up, Jesus will pull you up, put you on your feet. The issue for believers is never about knowing the truth. God doesn't hide it from us. Jesus doesn't hide the truth. The issue is about recognizing the spirit of lies. You know, and whether that's the choice that we're making and knowing. Do you want to know the truth? Are you ready to follow the truth? Because any time that we're ready, Jesus is there to help us and to lead us and to guide us and to take us towards joy and peace and victory and all the wonderful things that He has promised for us. 1 John 4:7-12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. You know, the spirit of truth is all about love. Love means putting someone else first. You know, we don't have a problem with doing that when we're all taking turns. The problem that we have with loving people is when they don't reciprocate. You know, when we do kind things towards them, when we have good intentions towards them, but they have bad intentions towards us. And that's when our love breaks down. But true love is more than that. It's unilateral. It's one-sided. And it exists in the face of hate. When hate enters, truth breaks down, and lies take hold. I might decide to be nice to someone who is giving me trouble. I'm a pastor. You know, I'm supposed to stay cool and collected that when somebody's acting ugly, and try to be polite and nice. But I can be nice without loving them. I might keep my anger in check when someone's attacking me, but I can do that without loving them too. But how do I love that person for real? That's always kind of the mystery to me. How do I love someone who is so hurtful? You know, can you lead a person to Jesus while you're hating them? You know, you might be able to lead a man in an electric chair to Jesus, I suppose, but I don't know if you could do it while you hated him. How do I love my enemies? Because that's what Jesus did. You know, I saw a meme the other day. You posted this meme. Thank you. Because it helped me out. I saw this meme the other day, and it said, everyone has met someone, this is a paraphrase, everyone has met someone who has hurt them so bad it changed their life forever. And probably, I don't know if everyone does, but I think probably most people could identify with someone like that in their lives at some time at a point in their life. But this thought sprung to my heart. And I thought, have you ever met someone who loved you so much it changed your life forever? And that's the kind of people that Jesus wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be the kind of people that follow lies, that hurt people. He wants us to be the kind of people who love and change lives. Could we love a person who's hurt us so much? The only reason that we can't love others as much as Jesus loves us is because we don't know how much Jesus loves us. And if we understood how much Jesus loved us, it would be easy for us to love our worst enemies. And so I pray for that, you know, for God to put within my heart a genuine love for someone. You know, if loving others isn't our everyday experience, if loving our abusers is not our everyday experience, you know, I'm going to tell you something. We have work to do. You know, we're still being held hostage by lies. Because if we knew the truth, if we had the real picture, the real lowdown, we wouldn't have any problem loving people who abused us. Be a person who loves first. Be a person who loves even when love isn't returned. That's the kind of love that works violence against people. That's how we know that the truth has hold of us when we're living that way. That's how you use violence of love to defeat lies. Don't overcome people with bitterness and respond with all that. Use love. Tear them to shreds. Just mix them up. 1 John 4:16 through 21. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how we know love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love his brother and his sister. And that's truth. That's what we've been called to. That's the path to victory. That's the way to our success. And I know that our flesh can scream so loud. It can be so strong. It can be so unruly. And we can almost quiver and shake at the thought of following the commands that Jesus has called us to. To let go of an offense. Not just let go of it. Not just to say you've forgiven, but to love that person. You may never be able to be with them. I'm not saying those things, but wherever they go, at least love them. You know, I want God to do his best for them, because he loves them. He loves the prodigal child. You may not be able to understand it, but his heart pants for every one of his children. He wants every one of them so much to come home and to know his glory and his goodness and his mercies. And he's just looking for us to be instruments that he can use to reach out to them and show them love. Show them that God isn't angry, that it isn't too late, that it isn't impossible, that they don't have to stay on that street. You know, in the current news cycle, there was a trial in Texas. Lady cop had went home one night, and she went into the wrong apartment, into her apartment house. She went to the wrong apartment, she claimed, and there was a black man in there whose apartment it belonged to, and she shot and killed him. And they just had the trial, and she was convicted. And it was amazing, because the brother of the black man that was killed sat on the bench, and he was giving his testimony. He said that he was speaking for himself. He wasn't even speaking for his family. That he had forgiven her, and that he didn't wish her any harm. He recommended that she give her heart to Jesus. But all he wanted for her was for the best. And he asked the judge if he could hug her. There was no, was quiet, and he asked again, and so she let him, and they ran to each other, and there was this embrace. How do you do that? I don't know if you haven't seen that video, you need to look it up. It's powerful. I believe one young man did more for our nation in that moment than what countless people have done in decades. It's powerful. It tears up your ideas, your thinking. It sets you on a different course, a different path. Power of love changes so much. We just got to be willing to do it. And that means we have to accept truth and reject lies. And God wants our best. Praise God. Thank you for coming today. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just thank you for today, for your word, your love. Lord, may each of us feel the burden to embrace truth, to not be caught up with every new self's pitch, things that just make our flesh feel good. Let us be willing, Lord, to love like you love, to figure it out, become that person. Lord, we'll be with you soon, forever and ever and ever. We have all eternity to enjoy the glory that you've called us to. But Lord, in this time, in this moment, may our light shine. May we consider the cause worthwhile. The chasing down of your children who are caught in lies. We're drowning in pools of despair. Let us live in such a way, Lord, to help them find the glory that you called them to. Father, I pray for every person here today. If they came in with distress or heartache or disappointments, that you touch their heart, put a skip in their step, that hope would be birthed in their life. Thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen.